Blog Talk Radio.
Singing in the rain, you're singing in the rain. What a glorious feeling, I'm happy again. I'm laughing at clouds, dark up above. The sun's in my heart, and I'm ready for love. Let the stormy clouds chase everyone from the place. Come on with the rain, I've a smile on my face.
Hello, everyone. Let's do go on with the show. We have quite a show tonight on Judy Joy Jones. We are honored to have a very, very special guest. Betty Jo Tucker is a host on Blog Talk Radio, a very popular host, and her show is called Movie Attic Headquarters. And I couldn't believe when she said, yes, she'd be on my show. I thought, oh, my gosh, what did I do to get somebody like Betty Jo Tucker? She's amazing. She said, I've never been able to conquer my addiction to movies. Wow. She not only hosts one of Blog Talk Radio's most popular shows, Movie Attic Headquarters, but she is the author of 4 books. She's the lead film critic for Real Talk Movie Reviews, writer for the Omaha Family Newspapers, Colorado Senior Beacon writer, and Real Movie News Reviews, as well as Romance Club website and News First Online. I hope I have all that right. She does indeed wear many, many hats. I love Betty Jo Tucker's show on Blog Talk Radio, Movie Attic Headquarters. I am addicted. And all I can say is, Betty Jo, please, for your audience, don't ever get unaddicted to movies, okay? And also, we are pleased tonight to have Rita Graham as our co-host. Rita Graham has been our co-host before. She is quite remarkable herself. She is a writer, an author. Her new book is called, or her first book is called, Karma Rising, soon to be out. I believe that's September. Rita Graham is a singer. She was a protege of the late, great Ray Charles, and she also was a roulette. So I'm going to bring her up right now and let her be part of the action here. Oops. Rita? Hello? Well, I thought I would. Let me go ahead and bring... Hello?
Hello?
Hi, Rita. How are you?
I'm good. I'm addicted to movies too, Betty Jo.
Oh, let me bring Betty... Wait a minute. Betty Jo, hi, how are you doing?
Well, I am just, I'm wonderful. How could I not be wonderful after that introduction? And I am playing Gene Kelly singing in the rain, and then Ethel Merman doing There's No Business Like Show Business, and then finding out what you thought about Movie Addict Headquarters, and Rita being a movie addict. I mean, my gosh, I am just so excited. I'm on the Judy Joy Jones show.
Hi, and I have Betty Jo Tucker, and she has a Blog Talk Radio show called Movie Attic Headquarters, and we have Ms. Rita Graham as our co-host. And Rita, all I can say is thanks for being here. You know, it's like we're going to have a party tonight.
Well,
a movie party.
Immensely. Good, because I'm usually out singing someplace in some Well, I say saloon, but I'm lucky. I work in some places that are a little better than saloons, but
well,
I think of myself as a saloon singer, so usually I'm out on Saturday night, but it's just great being home and being able to talk to such lovely, lovely ladies on the telephone. This is great.
Thank you. I had read Betty Jo. Now, I don't know if this is right, but you do like Singing in the Rain?
Like it. It's my all-time favorite movie. I think it is the best movie ever made. At least it's the most entertaining movie ever made. I cannot find one dull minute in that movie, and I've watched it over and over and over again. It just absolutely has a wonderful plot. I mean, the performances, the music,
mm-hmm.
the singing, the dancing, and it's about movies, so I love movies about movies. But if I found out that I was going to die and they said you can see one more movie before you die, it would be Singing in the Rain. So when you played that number, that Gene Kelly number, I'm just smiling ear to ear because it always puts me in such a good mood. And in fact, my husband and I, Larry is also a movie addict.
Mm-hmm.
We were so thrilled with Gene Kelly and Singing in the Rain. He made such an impression on us that we named our son Kelly after Gene Kelly.
Oh my gosh.
So,
wow.
That's a movie addict for you when you're naming your kids after movie stars. We named our daughter Susan after Susan Hayward because she was so beautiful and so marvelous in My Foolish Heart. Now, that's a film that you two are probably too young to remember. But
oh, I remember My Foolish Heart. I watched the late night movies too. You know.
All right.
Yeah,
I like the way you think.
Yeah, my annual 39th birthday, but I still watch those late night movies because Singing in the Rain. Every time I think about it, I think about that. To the Lynch, you know, the
vamping.
That little thing, and it's really, really nice. But that dance that he did in Singing in the Rain. There was an assistant choreographer on that show named Marie Bryant, who was an African American. She sure was great dancer.
Is that right?
Yeah,
wow. Well, they just did a beautiful job with the dancing and that. And of course, that was the first time that Debbie Reynolds, the great Debbie Reynolds, had done any tapping. And Gene Kelly taught her to do tapping. And
I didn't
know
that.
Yeah, and we were so lucky to have her as a guest on Movie Attic Headquarters. And she talked about working with Gene Kelly, and she talked about, you know, how what a taskmaster he was for one thing, but also, you know, how wonderful it was to work with him.
Yeah, she's a natural dancer. So, you know, somebody who could just do what she can do. I remember seeing on television one of her Las Vegas acts. I saw, like, you know, excerpts from what she was doing in Vegas. That girl was dancing her face off. She's a natural dancer.
She's just a natural.
She's up there in age, and you know that she does these live performances, I think about 42 weeks out of the year.
Oh, my God.
I mean, she does that show that she puts on. Larry and I have seen it in Las Vegas.
I saw parts of it, and I mean, just amazing, amazing costumes and wonderful stuff. She's got a lot of...
And her repartee, her little anecdotes and her impersonations, she's just wonderful.
Her hilarious. Yeah, her impersonations.
But how about the Good Morning number, the exuberant dancing with Donald O'Connor with Debbie Reynolds and Gene Kelly, that Good Morning number, just absolutely one of the best tap routines.
Well, Betty Joe, I've got to ask you. Now, I read a little bit, you know, about your background and everything, and you actually were in academia, which, you know, is kind of way far from being an entertainer or a movie critic. How did that happen? Were you just pulled into that to make a living, or what happened?
Well, I think that it was the way that most women could make a decent living was to become
right.
a teacher. And but that didn't mean that I stopped being an entertainer, because I was sort of an entertainer as a teacher.
Oh.
And I also, whatever I did in the field of education, I would somehow involve the movies.
Oh,
and it,
yeah.
at first, I was teaching second grade, and of course I would teach little songs and dances from the movies, and we'd have little shows for the parents that they would come in.
Even
and
then
I would, when I was teaching high school, we would take field trips to the movies.
Oh my!
Like
God.
Manchurian Candidate, you know, when I was teaching
oh,
American
yeah.
Problems, Manchurian Candidate, we'd be studying about brainwashing, so we'd go to the movies, and then. When I was a student council sponsor at South High School here in Pueblo, Colorado, I worked with Martha Gorder, who was the counselor there, the head of counseling, and we wrote follies for the faculty and the students to participate in. And we would write the songs, and we would choose the students to be in the follies, and we would just kind of direct it. So, and then everywhere that I was teaching or serving as a dean, we would put on faculty follies and shows that I would help write and even perform in. In fact, one of my last performances was Putting on the Ritz, where a colleague and I were Ginger Dodgers and Fred Upstairs, and that was at a college. So I was always an entertainer. So and then of course movies. Everybody that worked with me and the students, they would always ask, well, what movie to see? What movie did you see last week? What's going on at the movies? And I would always, you know, give them a rundown, and because I think everyone is entitled to my opinion. So
well, you know, your opinion is. Betty Jo has a book, I've got it right in my hand, called Confessions of a Movie Addict. And I would recommend that everyone go to Amazon.com, buy that book. Betty Jo, you're just a natural. You see something on the screen, and it ignites something in your brain, and you go home and you write it down for all of us. And I'm just really in awe of that ability. I don't know where that came from. Did you have other people in your family that actually did this? I don't know.
No, we didn't. Not anyone who was, you know, quite as obsessed with movies
right.
as I was. But my grandmother's brother was Charlie Brown, and he did the road shows of George M. Cohan's plays. He would play the George M. Cohan's part on the road, and he was quite a dancer and quite a singer. So, and of course, I did take tap dancing, and I taught dancing. You know, from the time I could walk, I took tap dancing and performed as a tap dancer and performed in musical comedy. And so, I think the Charlie Brown genes came through to me.
Came from that. Yeah, because
that is great.
That's really great.
I think being a dancer makes such a difference in how you get through life. It gives you grace and confidence, and I think dancers are a lot more healthy than people who don't dance.
It's joyful. I mean, it just makes you feel so happy when you're dancing, and it can be like a meditation when you're practicing the routines in your head even.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
I think it's really, it keeps you in tune with the rhythm of the universe, and I still do it, you know, just for my own personal enjoyment and not for public exhibition.
Right. Right. Well, you know, that most of the dancers I meet, they're the happiest of all artists. You know, I thought to myself, well, maybe because they get it out right then, at the moment. They always seem so happy, and I often wonder, now I think I'm listening to Betty Jo Tucker, Movie Attic Headquarters radio show on Blog Talk Radio. I kind of feel like you're telling us that maybe you know, you're kind of getting out all those emotions, maybe.
Yes. And well, that show is talk about joy. That is, I mean, that's where all the movie addicts hang out. I mean, or
yeah. That's right, Betty.
That's what it's for. And
absolutely.
It's so funny. It started out, I can't believe it. I was just looking back because I knew you were going to ask about this. And this month is Movie Addict Headquarters' third anniversary.
Oh my God.
It's been on 3 years. Time flies when you're having fun. And it started out as 15 minutes of me just giving my opinion of a movie, you know, of the week. And then it just, you know, went from there. Now it's a 45-minute show. I have the most wonderful producer, Nikki Starr, great co-host, Jazz Shaw. I have a group of people that listen regularly and go into the chat room. And I think Judy Joy Jones might be one of my peeps.
Oh, yeah. I do sneak in there now.
And we get these wonderful guests who are just have the greatest time on the show, like Debbie Reynolds, Fred Willard, Cloris Leachman, Joe Mantegna, Tippi Hedren, Barry Bostwick, Michael Emerson. Oh my goodness! Hmm. I mean, Lorna Luft, Judy Garland's one of Judy Garland's daughters.
Of course.
We have, you know, directors and producers and screenwriters, and it's just, you know, so much fun for me because I get to talk to these people and get to learn, you know, learn more about movies and get to express my feelings. And we have other critics that join the show. We have the Mad Movie Man, AJ Hockery, who's so funny. Diana Sanger, who's an entertainment journalist from San Diego, is pretty much a regular, and film historian James Colt Harrison, and the list just goes on and on. It's just a real treat for me. I think this technology that Alan Levy has given us is just miraculous.
Amazing. It's amazing. You know, I don't think Alan Levy realized what he was doing, you know, when he started Block Talk Radio, but it is amazing. You can touch everyone on the face of the earth just with a couple of buttons, and it still just overwhelms me that we're able to do that, Betty Jo. I wanted to ask you, whenever you came on Block Talk Radio and you kind of got going on it, did you realize that perhaps you were kind of, you were paving the way for a lot of people? I mean, I feel like you are. Betty Jo is one of the pioneers and also one of the most popular Blog Talk Radio show hosts. And, you know, when you're a pioneer, Betty Jo, I guess you're not really aware of it, but you really are. And I think a lot of people on the Internet, you have a lot of followers.
Well, that's so nice of you to say. I don't really think of myself as a pioneer. I'm just having a great time. Having a lot of fun.
Having a party.
That's right, having a party every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern time. I mean, it's
every
movie
Tuesday,
party,
4 p.m.
movie party time. That's right.
Absolutely. Well, you and your husband, you know, I read the book that y'all wrote together under another name. But, you know, it's what struck me about you and your husband, what I read. Now, this may not be, but you were divorced for many years, and then you came back together?
Yes, we were high school sweethearts, and we got married about a year after high school, and we were married for about 24 years. We raised a son and a daughter. Then we got divorced. We were divorced for about 20 years, and then we got back together again, and here we've been together again for about 12 years now, and so people were just flabbergasted when that happened. How did this, because it was a pretty bitter divorce, and how did that happen? How did you, I moved to San Diego, Larry stayed here. Mm-hmm. And they said, how did it happen? So we just decided, well, we're going to write down how we saw that it happened. You know, I would write down what I thought, and he would write down what he thought. And the book is called It Had to Be Us.
It
and it's written under Harry and Elizabeth Lawrence, but so we changed, you know, everybody's names and the location and everything because it was so emotional and so personal.
Oh,
but
sure.
My golly, people figured out who we were anyway, so that we really didn't need to do that.
It's such a love story, Rita.
I think that's lovely. And, you know, and my favorite, one of my favorite sayings is that there's no substitute for love. And
for sure.
When there is no substitute. It's like rest. There's no substitute for rest. It's just, you know, you can substitute things for, you know, food. You can pretend like, well, I'll just eat these three potato chips and that'll satisfy me until day after tomorrow. But there's no substitute for love.
I think you're right. You're definitely right about that, Rita. And what is it? There's that saying, the secret to a successful marriage is falling in love over and over again with the same person.
And that's what Betty Jo did. That is.
Well, then we didn't expect this to be, you know, a book. And what happened was I was workshopping it on Francis Ford Coppola's virtual studio, and someone saw this and said that should be a book. So we put it together, and then it was published by Sands Publishing Company, and then that went out of print, and the Romance Club picked it up and published it as an e-book, and we wrote a little bit more for that and put in some recipes at the end that are kind of neat because they're vegetarian and all. And then it was submitted to the Hollywood Book Festival and won first place in the e-book category, the e-book version that you can get from the Romance Club. So we were just flabbergasted. We are now award-winning authors.
Amazing.
But my daughter said to me, she says, Dad's a better writer than you are.
Oh, really?
Right. She's right.
He's right.
But it was such an emotional book to write, but I'm glad that we did because it really has received a lot of comments. One reviewer said that she thought that book should be distributed to marriage counselors, divorce counselors, you know, to have their clients read. So
sure.
I thought that was a wonderful compliment. And
it opened your heart.
Yeah, stuff like that inspires people, too, because I met a lady when my husband is, I'm a widow, and he made a transformation from an accident. But when we were together for nearly 30 years, and in that, just before we decided to make a commitment, we broke up, and I met a lady who's had a similar kind of experience with her husband that you had. They got divorced. They were divorced twice and came back together. And that was so inspiring to me that I said, well, you know, I'm going to give this old guy another chance. I'm not going to, I'm not going to just throw him out in the garbage can. I think he's a fixer-upper. And he just turned out to be so wonderful. Yeah, you know, just in those first couple of months and, you know, really bad spat and stuff, we just saw that as water under the bridge and went on ahead and made a commitment. So I think stories like that do inspire people, and they help people to get an overview instead of thinking, uh-oh, you've done it now. You've just hurt my feelings,
that's
and I'll never get over it, and you've just crossed the line. You know, and
well said, Rita. I think it's so funny that with Larry and I, the things that irritated us about each other, you know, the first go around, now we just think they're charming eccentricities.
He would tell me the same thing. You know, I used to hate the way you did that, but now it's just part of your charm. So it was a little thing around the house. You know, it's part of your charm. You know, those
part of her charm. You know, that's funny how life, you know, actually I was going to ask you, Betty Jo, this is kind of a change of subject, but if you had let's give us three movies that you would see over and over and over, what would they be?
Well, you already know one.
I know one. Sing.
Yes. All right. So it would be Singing in the Rain. And
absolutely.
Then the second one would be Vertigo. That's the Alfred Hitchcock movie with Jimmy Stewart and Kim Novak. Oh, my gosh. There has never been a movie that captured the the feel and the intensity of an obsession like Vertigo. And I just I will watch that whenever I see it being played on TV. I will watch that movie, and I never remember how it ends. And I think that's a blessing, because then, you know, you can see it. I mean, I can see it, and I can be, you know, be in suspense. So Vertigo, and then the third one, this is way out in left field, ladies, but I just absolutely loved Christopher Guest's Waiting for Guffman.
Oh.
And
that is
it's a mockumentary, and it stars, you know, like Fred Willard and Parker Posey and Catherine O'Hara, and of course Christopher himself as Corky St. Clair, who's putting on a show. And of course, I guess that's what got to me. all the trials and tribulations of putting on a show. And and when I was doing research on Susan Sarandon, it just thrilled me when I found out that that's the movie that she likes to watch the most whenever she's feeling blue, is Waiting for Guffman. So those would be the three, you know, the top three. Yeah,
and I know it's hard, because every time you see a new movie, you're just like riveted to your seat. You're not, and you know, to narrow it down to three. Now, Betty Jo, when we're looking, we want to go to a movie. We've got our family together, and it's not cheap, but we don't care. We want to go ahead and live it up for one night. And so we're looking the newspaper at the movie critic, and we go by that, actually. Would you say we're doing okay? To you know, like we pick this movie over that movie because of what the critic, if we, you know, we listen to them, we read them.
That's a really good question, Joy, because you are doing the right thing if you have a relationship with the critic. Now, I don't mean a personal relationship.
Right.
But if you've read that or heard that person's reviews and they've made sense to you and you've followed their recommendations and you feel comfortable with that. But just any critic, I mean, critics have such, for example, this week,
right.
I mean, I went to see Killers with Katherine Heigl and Ashton Kutcher, and I, you know, finished my review. I liked it. I thought it was, you know, fast-moving, fast-paced, suspenseful, funny, good romance. And I went to post my blurb on Rotten Tomatoes, and I found out that only 6% of the critics thought it was a good movie. I was way out in left field. But on my site, when people were rating the movie, they were more in tune with what I was saying. So it depends on your, you know, you have to form a relationship. I mean, if you believe that Roger Ebert has you know, a good analysis of films and he's given you good advice, then, you know, go with him. But if you're just picking any critic and you don't know about that critic, you don't have some background information or some experience with that critic, then that's not a very good way to do it, because critics are humans and we all have different opinions. And so you need to find someone that thinks like you a little bit and feels like you and is looking for similar things. So does that help?
It does, you know, because a lot of times I read, you know, a review and I go, but if I have an affinity and I know that they have kind of hit it on the head before for me, I can actually decide whether or not to plop down my $10 on that ticket and go in or not. You know, I really listen or I read reviews very closely because they
good
do.
For you.
Yeah, because
I was just going to say, I can't stand computer-generated graphics when they are overwhelming. I don't mind a little tweak here and there, you know. And I can tell that there's a mat and there's a, because I watch everything in the film. I love the music and I love the photography and the angles and the story and how it all fits together. And this computer-generated graphic stuff is overrated and overused. Over... And it kind of, yeah, it kind of bothers me from time to time. And after a while, I don't, you know, I love cartoons and all that, but I'm not a cartoon kind of spirit. And I just feel, you know, if somebody drew it, it's not...
Not the
same, thing.
Yeah, as somebody taking time to go watch it and write about it, like Betty Jo Tucker, who has one of the most popular Blog Talk Radio show host, shows, Movie Attic Headquarters. And Betty Jo, again, give us a time for that.
That's at 4 p.m. Eastern time on Tuesdays.
4 p.m. Eastern on Tuesday. And if you ladies don't mind, we're going to take a little break and listen to Rita Graham, who is our co-host, and she is singing Bring Me My Gin.
Great.
So
I
let's
love
see.
It. Comes from Bessie Smith. Back in the day before the United States government said that you could consume alcohol, they said you could not consume alcohol. They said you couldn't make it, but people made it anyway. They made it. They made it in the backwoods. They made it in the kitchen sink. They made it in the bathtub. And they called it gin. Stay away from me, 'cause I'm in my sin. I'm in my sin. Well, if this joint is raiding, somebody bring me my gin. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Don't try me, nobody. Cause you will never win. Woo. Don't try me, nobody. Cause you will never win. When I fight the army and the navy, if you will bring me. Alcohol, I want you to know that he's a friend, he's a buddy of mine. I make friends with anybody who deals in booze. He's a buddy of mine. Oh, sometimes my machine is deep time. It's mighty hard to find all it. Yeah. This comes from Bessie Smith.
Well, you know, that
way
was...
to go, Rita. I'm sitting here just dancing in my chair.
It's the blues. But, you know, I'm one of those vocalists. I've had a varied career. I'm a balladeer. I'm a crooner as well.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I love about the movies are movie theme songs. And I do a lot of movie theme songs in my act, in my live shows. I still do The Way We Were, and I do a lot of the songs from Rodgers and Hart, because one of the movies that always made me so very, very happy and so very, very sad was Words and Music, you know, the story of Richard Rodgers and Lawrence Hart. And so I've always loved musicals, and I do a lot of those songs on stage still.
Well, good for you. I'm the world's most avid movie musical fan, so I'm right there whenever there's a musical opening. I'm the first in line. And we don't get very many of them anymore.
No, we don't, Betty.
No.
What's going on? Let's get some music. What?
There.
I wonder, yeah.
There's one coming up in the fall that I'm really looking forward to. It's called Burlesque, and Cher is going to be in it.
Wow.
And Alan Cumming and Kristen, the gal that used to be on Veronica Mars, Kristen Bell,
uh-huh.
and Julianne Hough, who's Derek Hough's sister, who was such a star on Dancing with the Stars, and it just sounds to me like that's going to be a great musical. And they're redoing Footloose,
but I think that won't come
out until the following year. But the musicals are kind of few and far between, and I just wish that Mr. Hugh Jackman, Be Still My Heart, would live up to his promise that he was going to make a number of Hollywood musicals. I think Guys and Dolls was one of them, and wouldn't he be great?
Oh, yeah.
That is
one of my favorite musicals of all time. I've never been in love before. I still do. I love If I Were a Belle. I mean, it's just Guys and Dolls is one of my all-time favorites. Let's Be a Lady. I mean, just every song in that show just knocks
I know.
My
socks off. I think it's just great.
I can't say no. Oh, goodness, I love those songs.
Absolutely. You know, I wanted to ask you about your book, Betty Jo, The Real Deal, Writing About Movies. That's the one I didn't get, and so I'm not able to comment, but if you could...
Well, you know, that's not really for everybody, because it's the e-book version of the course that I'm teaching, for long story short, on how to write movie reviews. And so that particular book is published by Long Story Short for the people who don't want to spend the time in the class but would like to know the material. And
sure.
Then if they want to sign up for the class, then they do so after purchasing the e-book. And it's just six lessons about how to write movies. First session is developing a reviewing philosophy. Second is deciding what matters about a film. Third is organizing and writing the review. Fourth is dealing with negative feedback. And fifth is conducting celebrity interviews. And sixth, finding outlets for the articles, the reviews that people have.
Oh, okay.
So that explains, but only if you're interested in learning how to write movie reviews and interview celebrities.
Okay.
Yeah, with that one. But thank you for asking about that.
Sure. Because I wondered, you know, the cover. Everyone, by the way, if you go to the show page that tells about the show tonight, you're going to find everything that we're talking about, including Betty Jo Tucker's show. And you also, I put the website of her show on there, Movie Addict Headquarters. She has been a Blog Talk Radio show host for 3 years now. And she is very, very popular. So I am one to say, Betty Jo, I love your show. That's why I asked her, would she be on my show? And she said, yes. I almost fainted. Because, you know.
Well, I thought, I mean, talk about popular. I mean, I am a big fan of your show. I was just honored to be asked, because I listen to your show. You have such diverse and fascinating guests, and I learn so much, you know, every time that I listen to your show. So I thought, I'm going to be on the Judy Troy Jones show, and I just got so excited.
You know, Betty,
so it's a mutual admiration society.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, you have this really childlike zeal about you, and that is kind of rare. And I just went, oh, wow, she is in love with what she's doing, and that turns me on. Because you're in the right place at the right time. You know, I'm looking at your picture. There's a picture of her on our description page. And I've got to ask you, the hairdo, where did you get that?
I feel like I'm in a 40s time warp. I still have it.
1940s.
Ann Miller. It's Ann Miller, you know, a little bit of Ann Miller.
Yeah,
it is. Marilyn Monroe, you know.
Yeah, I love it. You know, it's so unique. It's like, that's Betty Jo, you know. I love paintings like you love movies, and I get that same. And I think Rita Graham loves music. Like, you know, we're all three different, but.
We have passion for what we're doing. That's
passion,
right.
Yeah. And you can see that. Betty Jo, are you working on another book? Do you have something else that?
I. Golly, I am, but I've been working on it for so long. I hate to even mention it, but maybe if I mention it, I'll get back to working on it. It's a children's book, and it's called it's probably just a little novella, but it's called The Ruby Slippers Caper. And it's about these youngsters who see the ruby slippers being stolen at the Debbie Reynolds Museum.
Yeah.
And stolen by a little you know, kind of flamboyant looking lady, and then the things that they do to help her, you know, realize that it's wrong and to get back into the job that she had at one of the studios or close. Anyway, it's kind of a cute little children's book, and it's called The Ruby Slippers Caper. But I'm kind of stuck a little bit with a little bit of writer's block, which is unusual for me. So maybe by talking with you two about it, that'll kind of spark me. And I have to admit that the idea for that little novella came from visiting the Debbie Reynolds Museum and seeing those ruby slippers and wanting to steal them and take them home with me and hide them.
No, you wanted to steal them. No,
I did. That's the first time I've ever wanted to steal anything.
Really?
I resisted. And
well,
I did confess. I confessed it to Debbie. And she gave me, that they do, you know, that she said, dispensation. She gave me a dispensation after I confessed, yeah. Right.
Well, you know, those shoes have turned up just as Judy Garland's shoes have turned up. People sell them. They fix them up and sell them as the real thing all over Hollywood. I mean, I'm sure the ones that you saw were the real ones, but I saw those shoes in so many different places over the years, and I said, oh, no, they didn't. You know, they would, you know, just duplicate them and sell them in retail stores and sometimes long before the web, you know, when they put little ads in the Hollywood papers that these shoes were the real deal.
They were the real macaw. It's really hard to know. I mean, you kind of have to have the heart of a child to be involved in entertainment, because we don't know. And if you try to find out, you're going to be disappointed. So I say just believe. You know, I'm reading Harry Potter for the first time, and I say, you know, let go. You know, just believe everything. It might be easier.
That's true. You want to have an open mind, you know, as children do, kind of open to everything and
open to
sort of
everything.
Unleash your inner child. That's what we do when we have a passion for what we do.
A passion. And you know, Betty Jo, you're the first movie critic that I've ever met, but because of the fact that you are so passionate about your calling, that it struck me that you were born somewhere, someplace with this calling, but it came out, I guess, when you were a little bit older and you had gone through a lot of life. And I thought, wow, Betty, tell people out there that are listening a little bit about, you worked for a college as a dean?
Yes, and this was when I was in San Diego, and one of the jobs that I had as a dean was dean of the School of Humanities, which was just a dream job for me because I supervised departments like drama, music, art, English, and so as part of the English and drama departments, you know, there was a lot of dealing with film and movies, and so I was visiting classes a lot because I was so interested in it. And then we had Annette Bening was one of our former students in the drama department there, and we had her back to do some classes in drama, and she was just wonderful. And then we had what we called the Humanities Institute that we set up, and we would give out awards to people, and we had Steve Allen and Jane Meadows there to get an award for Meeting of the Minds. We had Cliff Robertson for Charlie. Wow. And so we were doing, you know, I was doing things related to movies as the Dean of Humanities. So when I retired, people still kept calling me asking me about, you know, what movies to see. And so I said, well, my goodness, I'm retired, and I can go to as many movies as I want to now, and people are asking me, so I'm just going to try writing a couple of reviews, send them off to some of the small little neighborhood papers. I didn't want to take anybody's job or anything. And so, sure enough, people liked them, and they were run then in about 6 or 7 little local papers there in San Diego. And so I became a critic with all the credentials to interview, and to go to free screenings and to interview the stars and the directors and when they came down to San Diego, and a lot of them did. Mm-hmm. And so that just started. Then when we moved back to Pueblo, Colorado, I can do all of this by computer, interview by telephone. I can do the reviews online. And
amazing.
It's just that's kind of the way it happened. And, of course, we've set up the Real Talk Reviews movie site, which is where I serve as the lead film critic. I am a critter, but a critic. we have about 7 critics who send me their reviews. I edit them and put them up, and they're just great, great reviews that you'll find on that site, because this is a wonderful group of people. And I thought radio, well, that would be fine. I ran across Real Talk Radio.
Sure.
So it all just kind of,
started falling.
Oh, on Real Talk Reviews, I should mention this.
All right.
We've got about over 3,500 reviews already on that site, and about, close to 400, I think, articles, interviews. So, and that's REEL, realtalkreviews.com. So I wanted to be sure and mention that. But you know where you can find all of this information?
Right.
Is at my personal website, which
right.
is www.bettyjoetucker.com. And from that site, you can go to the books, the reviews, the interviews, the class, the blog, the Movie Addict Headquarters radio site. It's all there on that one site. And it's like a movie house. It's got a marquee, and it's got little tickets, little movie tickets up at the top where you can then click on. So I would urge people who want to find out more about the books and the class and all of that other information just to go to www.bettyjoetucker.com.
And Betty Jo, when I went on that site, it actually excited me. It ignited my my imagination, because it really does. It feels it's like I'm going to a movie and I'm all excited. I'm going to buy popcorn. I love it. the energy there, Betty Jo, is film. And I'm going, oh, my God, it is amazing how much.
Well, I have to thank Denise. I have to thank Denise, the web designer, Denise Casino, for that layout on that site. I think
she just
did a beautiful job.
She did wonderful. It makes a lot of difference. When you click on a website, if you know immediately what it is about. You don't have to look. You don't have to think. It's there. And when you go to Betty Jo Tucker's site, you're going, oh, okay, and that's www.bettyjoetucker.com. And when you go on there, you're going to see what I'm talking about. You're not going to wonder what she's all about. You're going to know. And I love that because,
in your face.
Yeah, in your face. A little bit in your face. That's right, Betty. So what is the next? Now, you and your husband, do you actually see about 200 movies a year?
Yes, we probably see more than that if you count the screeners that are sent to me to review. I was just considering the actual going to the multiplex and seeing the films. But we live when we moved back to Pueblo, we had our children pick a house for us, and it's just about 6 minutes down to the multiplex. So we're right close.
Close to the movies.
We're definitely close to the multiplex. And it's kind of our second home. We're over there. Everybody knows us over there. and he's quite an enabler. He
wow.
definitely loves movies, and
he
in fact, when we were when we would go to some of the film festivals, mm-hmm. Telluride and Taos, Larry would take photos of the some of the stars and some of the interviews mm-hmm. that when I would be interviewing them. So, Confessions of a Movie Addict does have a little gallery of the photos that Larry took, and he actually took a picture of Angelina Jolie. And
wow.
And Johnny Lee Miller and me,
uh-huh.
and I think that's very unprofessional to have your picture taken with a star. But
what?
Angelina Jolie is the most persuasive person on the face of the earth.
Oh.
And she insisted. So there in that book, you'll find me sitting in between Angelina Jolie and Johnny Lee Miller, and I'm glad that she did insist on this because
sure.
that picture, my grandchildren think, wow, Grandma's really important. She's got a picture with Angelina Jolie.
Really, really cool point there with
right.
Jolie.
Very cool.
Amazing. I mean, what a nice person to have your picture right there with. She is
yes.
amazing. She's beautiful. She's humanitarian. She's philanthropist. She's all those things. You couldn't ask for anything better, Betty Jo.
Well, it worked out that way. I was kind of upset about it at the time, but
oh.
it turned out to be something wonderful to have.
Something
so
wonderful.
I'm really blessed with that. I'm just so blessed with the people in my life and the people that I've come in contact with and all the help and support that I get the way I'm appreciated and I can't thank you enough. I can't thank you enough, Joy, for
you know,
being
Betty
so supportive.
Tucker, you know, I never dreamed the day would come when I'd have you on my show. It was almost like, angels or spirits, they said, you know, and I wanted to have you on my show, but I was really in awe of you, Betty. And I thought, Betty Jo's not going to be on my show. I know she's not. She's got too much, you know, and she won't do it. But she said yes. And I
absolutely.
Can only say thank you because Betty Jo Tucker has one of the most popular shows on Blog Talk Radio. And Blog Talk Radio has over 10,000 hosts. So we're talking about.
Really?
Yeah.
10,000
hosts.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Well,
really?
You know, I hope I quoted, maybe, is it 10,000? You know what, Betty, let's check it out. I thought it was 10,000. Maybe it's 10,000 shows. You know, I'm not really left-brained enough to totally. But anyway, Betty Jo Tucker, Movie Addict Headquarters, and she is going to tell us right now when we can listen to that show on Blog Talk Radio.
That would be at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on Tuesday afternoons,
mm-hmm.
and it's www.blogtalkradio.com/movieaddictheadquarters, and it's just a fun show, and if you're a movie addict, we'd love to have you there, and even if you're not, it's a great place to visit. We have a wonderful time every Tuesday afternoon.
Yes, she does. And also, Betty Jo Tucker is an author of four books. One of her books is Susan Sarandon, the movie star, and it's called Susan Sarandon, A True Maverick. And I want to encourage everyone to read this book because we don't read a lot about Susan Sarandon, and I was so grateful that finally somebody had written about her. It's Susan Sarandon, A True Maverick, and the second book is Confessions of a Movie Addict, and the third one is The Real Deal, Writing About Movies. And then the fourth book, Betty Jo Tucker and her husband wrote a book together called It Had to Be Us, but you're not going to find it if you go and look for Betty Jo Tucker. You're not going to find it because they use the pseudonyms of Harry and Elizabeth Lawrence. Now, I've got to ask you, Betty Jo, where did you get that name?
Harry and Elizabeth Lawrence. It's just,
yeah.
Well, Larry's Harry rhymes with Larry, and Lawrence is Larry. So, and Elizabeth is my, instead of Betty, I am on my birth certificate, Elizabeth Josephine.
Oh.
So, So we just put Harry and Elizabeth Lawrence, and it sounded good, and it looked good on the cover. So
yeah, it's beautiful.
That's what we went with. Yeah, and that book is available in ebook format. But we have donated all our royalties to Children's Literacy for that film, and I've donated all my author's royalties for the Susan Sarandon book to the Myelin Project, which is one of Susan Sarandon's important causes, which she got interested in when she was making Lorenzo's Oil, which is one of the most powerful movies, I think, that she made, and she made a lot of powerful movies.
Mm-hmm.
So that's so we're not in the business of making money for those books, but we do feel that that people should know that when they do get the books, that that they're helping with some of these worthy causes.
Yeah,
right, and you know, speaking of books, Judy Joy Jones is very modest. She has a book that is finished and about to be published, called "When a Saint Calls Surrender," about her travels with Mother Teresa, and I think this is such a terrific thing to have done and to write about. I mean, your audience is enormous because you're going to have people from all countries, all over the world, that want to have that up close and personal account, that understanding of what you saw through your eyes traveling with Mother Teresa. I think it's tremendous. And
I can hardly wait to read it. When will it be coming out, Joy?
You know, I'm not exactly sure. It should be a couple of months, but I thank Rita for saying that, because it's really hard for me to kind of promo my own stuff. But Rita Graham has also written a book, her first book, Betty Jo, and it's called Karma Rising. And we are looking forward to that. And I will be the first purchaser.
Karma Rising and Travels with Mother Teresa. Those, both of those would make great movies. That's what goes through my mind.
Karma Rising was written to be a movie. I love movies. I just thought, I have got to make each scene a scene. It is a historical suspense novel, but it has romance and a lot of other stuff. So.
And reincarnation.
Reincarnation, yes it is. It has past life regression, and it's very
about
similar,
the Civil War? Is it
very
Rita?
Similar? Yeah, the Civil War. Very similar to, and I didn't know this, and Betty Jo, I'm sure you're familiar with this movie, Kenneth Branagh.
Dead Again?
Dead Again,
Dead Again.
One of my favorite films of all time.
Me too. I see that over and over again, too.
Over and over again, and I loved it, and so I have a few elements of Dead Again, and I didn't mean to do it. I incorporated with unconsciously, and I wish, but I think that's good, because they're in, aside from A Bit Time Standstill, and what was the other one with Christopher Reeve? Somewhere in Time. And so other than those, they're really, there haven't been a lot of movies in that, with that theme, or similar types of theme, and so on. I'm fascinated with it because I had a past life experience that was spontaneous many years ago, and I think more people ought to know about this, and I think they ought to be aware of it. So I'm casting in a suspense novel, so I'm looking forward to seeing what.
Well, I'm looking forward to reading it too, and Joy,
thanks,
to yours also.
Thank you, Betty Jo. And tonight we were honored to have as our guest Miss Betty Jo Tucker, and Betty Jo has her own Blog Talk show, which is very popular. It may be right up there with number one, and it's called Movie Attic Headquarters. And Betty Jo, it's on Saturday nights when is it?
It's on Tuesdays.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Tuesday afternoons. Tuesday afternoons, 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Tuesday afternoon, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if you would give your website.
And my website is www.bettyjoetucker.com.
Thank you. And I want to tell you, Betty Jo, we are so honored you were here tonight. And everyone, please do me a favor. If you are just wondering about what movie you want to go see, where you want to go spend your money, spend a little time with Betty Jo Tucker, Movie Addict Headquarters. She is a host on Blog Talk Radio, and Betty Jo knows her movies. She loves and breathes them. Thank you so much. And good night, everyone.
It's been
Thank
a great
you.
Pleasure
good
to
night.
Be
good
on your show. Thank
it's
you.
Delightful.
Thank you for making it fun.
Thank you.